Lakeview Church. I feel a little bit unusual that I stand and speak and Dr. Strauss will sit here. I'm not sure if I'll graduate after this. I mean, some time in the long run, but it is very unusual. It is, because I usually sit quiet and listen. And he speaks and speaks and speaks and speaks. So I thank you so much for supporting the seminary and letting him go away for weeks there or here. It's a blessing. I was in the institute in Ukraine. It was like one week in 3 months, but for 4 years there. And I was there for a degree. I was trained in my own church, but there I was more for a degree that if our government will require us to have a diploma, you know, that I was trained for religion or anything, so I would have it. But it was interesting in Prague when I was there for the first time, and I heard Dr. Charles there. I think I've learned in 5 days more there than I've learned in four years back in the institute days. It was just wow. It was a blessing. It was very clear. It was Bible. It's not his own interpretation, I think. But anyway, it was very sound. I met his dear wife there. So, you know, it was just good Bible fellowship there, and I thank you for your investing in us in a younger generation anywhere in the world. I know it's in Philippines, right? Too in Europe and in America here. It's a blessing that churches start. And that we can be trained not in any college setting like that I have to leave and go away for years, but just that a preacher can train in either in the local church here or in the local church anywhere in Europe, and we can cooperate. It is great. I was saved because of missionaries from America. I was discipled by American missionaries. I was trained and a missionary there, he came up to me and said, you have 3 months to propose. Sort of. I mean, he knew that we liked each other and so on. So I said, yes, sir. And I proposed to Olya in 2000. I mean five, right? Five in November. So and I met her in our church, and she was saved in our church and disciple too. And actually, the missionary that was there at that time, he did not speak any language. But he had a desire to evangelize, so he had many tracts that he would give out, and he gave a tract on the train to a man, well, a man, and that man was my wife's father, and he brought the tract home, and Ole's mom, she knew it was a good church, so she sent Ole to Sunday school, and through that, she, you know, Ole is saved. Her mom then was saved. Her brother is saved too, and only because of a track, because of a missionary there that had a desire to evangelize, to give out tracts, to witness, even without knowing a word in Russian. It is a blessing to be able to see the, you know, with time to see the fruit of visions there, and I'm one of the fruits, right. You know, and it's I don't know I do not know whom I would be without a missionary there that left his home, that left the comforts of America, that left all he had here and came there. It is a blessing to see here the churches that are involved in missions. You know, either it's in Europe or in Africa, in Asia, wherever. But it's something that we don't see much here on earth. But I think in heaven, when we're going to be in heaven, there'll be folks there because some of you gave, and some of you prayed for the missionaries, and or you supported either financially or prayerfully, but God says, you know, in time you will reap. And I'm thankful for churches here in the States who have a heart for missionaries. I'd like to open the Bible, Acts 8, please. I have a daughter, she's somewhere here in the church, and she's 3 years old, and I have a son. He's back home. He's 9 months. So please pray for him, for my mom-in-law. She's with him now. It's very weird to be for so long without him here. It's unusual, but it's only for two and a half weeks, and we're going to be home. And let's look at, please, at Acts 8, and I'm very happy to see my friend from Ireland, Tom Baker. He has a beautiful English accent, and I would ask him to read for us Acts 8, 25 and down to the end. Okay? Thank you so much.
Okay, Acts 8:25-40. The Bible says, "And now when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest thou the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water that thou doth, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea.
Amen. Thank you, sir. We have here in the Bible that we see in the chapter here, in the context where Philip was in Samaria, and he preached the gospel there. you know, the whole chapter here is about preaching the gospel, either the word or you know, like in the fourth, in the fifth here, in the 12th, then in 25th, in 35, and in the end, it's all about preaching the gospel. He preached the gospel. And we see that he was in Samaria, and many believed in what he preached because the gospel has a power and to convict and to save. And we see in Samaria there was like a revival. I mean, many were. I mean, they heard the word, they believed in the gospel. They, you know, and they accepted Christ, and everything was great. And the church in Jerusalem, they had to send more disciples to help to disciple and to be with the new converts in Samaria. And in all that, we see it's a blessing. It's a blessing to read where the crowds are getting saved. It is a blessing to see how you know how the whole areas they accept the gospel. And here we see, you know, the Simon and all that. And then we see how God says to, well, how God calls Philip again. And it says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward south, toward the south. I'm going to go there tomorrow. Well, in here in the States, you know, the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is what there it says. What's it's desert? It means that it's not a desert, though it is, that it's empty. You know, in Philip, if I would be Philip there in that time, and with the results that I would see there, you know, many are getting saved, like whole Cromwell, or you know, or what's around here, Berlin, and all those European places here. You know, they're getting saved. They're hearing the gospel. And you know, the church has been planted. I mean, huge church, many new converts. And God says to Philip, okay, arise. Okay, arose. Okay, go down south and go there where it's, I mean, nobody's there. If I would be Philip, I would have some questions there. Now, God, what? I'm busy. Call Tom, he's free. I mean, please don't, you know, God, I have my own plans. Don't mess with my plan. I mean, I'm seeing fruit of my labor here. It's a blessing. I'm not saying about pride, but I'm saying just to see new converts that heard the gospel because you preached and they accepted Christ and they, you know, and the new life transformations there and everything. And here God says, okay, arise and leave, go to the road, and it's empty. There's nobody there. It's a desert there. You know, I would be a little bit concerned. Okay, is that just emotion? You know, is that just, I don't know, whatever. But Philip reminds me here of Abraham. He reminds me when God says in Genesis 22, you know, go to Mount Moriah and sacrifice your son. And the thing is that in the Bible, it's amazing. I don't know what was in his heart, but it didn't say Abraham, you know, either questioned God or doubted God. I don't know if it happened or not. I doubt because he believed by faith. So he goes to Mount Moriah and says, you know, to his servants, there you be here because we go to worship the Lord. You know, and that was the true worship there. It's not all the music. It's not all the, you know, fellowship around beer or whatever we see in our days. The worship was something real and serious there. So he didn't question God, but he went and did what God said. And here, Philip, you know, go down south to the road there. You know, it's empty. Just go. And we see what Philip did. And he rose and went. I praise the Lord for missionaries that were called to go somewhere, either it's Philippines, either Europe or Ireland or Belarus or Ukraine or Russia, even to Russia, anywhere, and they went not knowing what's going to be like there, and they did not have much when they arrived there, but they stayed there, they preached the gospel there. It might not be the results of Samaria at the time that many, I mean, huge crowds believed, but some believed. It's not everywhere where we're going to preach, the crowds are going to believe. Sometimes it will, sometimes it's not going to be so. It's not up to us. Up to us is to preach. God brings the result and the fruits. And we see Philip here left crowds of new converts, left that huge church that because of him was planted there, either one or several, I don't know. And we see him coming to a desert place, and I think God was trying to show him, I mean, might be, just my thought, that God was trying to show him, you know, as I care as much about crowds, I care so much about just one soul. You know, I care as much of America as I care, and I care as much of as much about Ireland, about Belarus, about Zimbabwe, about anywhere that God would call somebody. And in when one soul, you know, here we saw that already. But even if one soul will get saved anywhere in the world, it's worth all the money, all the time. I mean, I hope it's not going to be only one soul. And in history, I think we can look a little bit from that view. Okay, what's the most Christian nation in Africa? Do you know? It's Ethiopia. And you know, I'm not stating here dogmatically that it's because of this guy here, but we might look at history and see some further, a lot more than just one. But God was, I think, showing to Philip, as much as I care about Samaria and the crowds there, I care that much also just from one soul. And we see here that Philip went to that place. All right, and behold, a man of Ethiopia and eunuch of great authority under Candace, right? Queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. I think he was an Ethiopian Jew. I mean, I think so, because he came for religious for the festival there and so on, and he went there to worship. I'm not sure that he was a Jew, but I think so. And we see him, we see in the scripture here that he was reading Isaiah. And not only Isaiah, because Isaiah is a large book, it is. I mean, chapters from 1 to 66, it's a big book. But he was, so, you know, just so happened that the guy, he turned out to be there and reading Isaiah, what? Isaiah there, what was there in the Bible? Isaiah. Okay. Okay. Good. He was reading about prophecy about Messiah, probably one of the most clear prophecies of Christ, of his death, of his burial and resurrection in the whole Bible there, and it just so happened, you know, it just so happened that Philip was there at the time that he read that scripture there. And sometimes I see in our lives that God will bring us with some folks. Either it's sometimes it's in the store, or it's at our jobs, or it's somewhere just on the way to, I mean, when we travel, or somewhere that those who need Christ. You know, Philip was there not just to do some sightseeing. I mean, beautiful Gaza, it's desert, whatever it is. Philip was there because God sent him, and it just so happened, as you know, as we can say that that a man there was reading Isaiah 53 and was thinking about spiritual things. Sometimes God can use us as He used also Philip there. Sometimes they might not be so much in the Bible or thinking about God, but we can use some conversations that we have about politics, about the weather, about this or that. If we want to, we can turn them to Christ. We can turn them to conversations about Christ. And here we see Philip. Here we see that God, He told them, okay, it says in... just a second here, okay? He says, all right, go near and join thyself to this... chariot. All right, and we can imagine Philip there at that time, at his culture, the way the way they dressed, and I guess he would wear sandals. Okay, it was a desert, and we see, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read, and so on. Okay, imagine this great authority of getting there. He's riding the chariot there. Philip looked at him, then ran to him. I mean, he did not know the guy. And I guess that getting there would not be alone either. I mean, he was of a great authority. I think there would be some entourage there, you know, and either security or somebody. But Philip, because the Lord told him to preach the gospel to him. I mean, he will not tell him yet, but he'll show him that. But because the Lord, He told him, okay, join yourself to the guy there, okay, and he did, and we see that he heard him, that he read the Isaiah and all that, and then they had the conversation. And please look at 35 here. Okay, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached who? What? What did he preach? All right. I think that's something that the Lord said in Matthew 28, in Mark 16, in Acts 1:8, and more and more. I think God left us some commandment, right? Sometimes we get so much, with situation there in Europe now with Ukraine and Russia there. It's, you know, tense and so on. And either here with the politics here, what you have. Sometimes we can talk to strangers about anything, you know, about Obama or like at our place about Lukashenko or about anything. But sometimes we're kind of either shy, or we don't want to interfere, or we don't want to offend anybody with the gospel. You know, Philip preached Christ unto this man over there, and we see the result. It's a blessing. He got saved. He was baptized, and so on. But because Philip was willing to fulfill what God told him to, I already said about the missionary that was in Belarus, and and he was in the train, did not know any Russian, and he gave a tract to, what is it? He's still unsaved. He's still not saved. But I have a family. I have a wife, a beautiful wife. She paid me to say that, right? No. I have a wife. I have a daughter. I have a son. We were ministering just because a missionary was in a train, gave a tract, and left. I mean, he did not even. I mean, he could not even preach Christ to my dad-in-law, but he gave that little tract. And amazing what God can do through somebody who's willing to preach Christ unto anybody. An American in Belarus in the train, it's weird. Because, you know, Americans, they drive cars, you know, right? But I see a Philip here, he obeyed God in what God told him. And I know angel of the Lord will not tell us this evening, you know, go there or here or there. But I think God already left His commandment to us to preach Christ to anybody. To preach Christ, not politics, to preach Christ, not lament good old days that we had or anything. And we see when this eunuch there, he heard about Christ, he believed unto him. And it is interesting here, look at 37 here, please. Okay, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest, that's amen. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For us in the culture here or even in Europe too, if you will ask like an average guy in Belarus, okay, do you believe that Christ is the Son of God? I mean, even a drunk will answer, yes, I do. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I mean, I have a cross here. All right, but I think in the culture there, and if he was a Jew, to say that Jesus Christ is indeed a Son of God for a Jew, that would be already the confession unto salvation. Even in our days, if it's a Jew or a Muslim too, if you tell them that Christ is the Son of God, for them it's a blasphemy. For them, God did not have any sons. And in that time, when he said, you know, Christ is the Son of God, for him it was the confession unto salvation. And it is interesting that, as we, I think, know that many Bibles, they try to get rid of this verse here. Because they believe in baptismal regeneration, or that they believe this or that, or that Christ is not the Son of God, but He's a Son of God. But we see how God is showing us here in this context in the chapter there, as I care as much for crowds and whole areas that are getting saved. I care about only one soul too. And again, as much as it is in Cromwell or in Ireland or in Belarus, God cares for souls. Amen. Do we?
Yes. Amen.
I think so, and I hope so. But sometimes in our lives we can get so busy, you know, with family, with work, with even ministry. I mean, the ministry is supposed to be about souls, right? Sometimes I hear somebody say the ministry would be great without the people, you know. Well, without them, you don't have a ministry. But sometimes we get so stuck with our things we would do or we work or we try to accomplish that we forget about a soul. Sometimes we can be busy so much about the crowds that we don't look at individual souls. In Belarus, you would ask, I said that the most there, they believe in some kind of God. They believe in Christ, that He actually died on the cross. But the problem is there, they don't apply it individually. They don't believe He's my Savior, that I need Him to save me. And they look about the world, that Christ died for the whole world. But sometimes we can look at the whole world, and with a desire that many would get saved, that we pass the individuals somewhere that God can bring on our way. I've had sometimes either it's on the road or somebody will ask me how to go somewhere like where the library is or where the trains are or anything. And sometimes I reach to get a track, and sometimes you see I forgot the tracks, and God convicting me about, okay, you thought to witness here, and the guy's already left there, but in your day, in your business, you don't take care of the main things that we have. Philip here, God told him, he obeyed and left and went and did what God commanded him. Amen.